Maureen Dillon Teasdale for CJMQ 88.9 FM. And today I have Jerry Cutting in the booth with me. And Jerry wears a lot of hats. I know he's president of the Townshipers Board of Directors. And you serve on a few other boards too, don't you, Jerry?
Yes, I'm also the English representative on the hospital board known as the CHIRS, Santé Intégrée Universitaire Santé Social Service. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's quite a mouthful, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yes. And I'm also vice president of the Quebec Community Groups Network. And I also serve on the Musée Beaune board. So I get a lot of variety in my life, and sometimes just a little bit too much.
Okay.
But anyway, today I'm here to talk about something that I think is very near and dear to not just the Townships Association, but to townshipers in general. And that is the second try at having a festival, Townshipers Day, which, as you all know, in terms of name, replaces Townshipers Day. And this year, it's going to be in Cowansville at the Massivanier Regional High School. Just to make sure everybody who's listening in remembers what the intent here and who the partners are, is that there was a year in which we took a year off and then came back last year with a brand new, different definition, a slightly changed format for Townshipers Day, and it became Townshipers Festival. And it was held at Richmond High School, a regional high school, and we have partnered up with the Eastern Township School Board for these events for the next 3 years. And then after this year, it's going to be in the Lennoxville area. It's a very interesting matchup because there are three partners in this new organization: Townshipers Association, Eastern Townships Regional School Board, and the big hospital board that I just took so long to spell out, CHIRS.
Okay.
Now, this is very interesting because in the surveys that we've taken, looking at what are the priorities for the English-speaking community in historical townships, what comes across is access to health services, education, advocacy. So you put the three major organizations together that deal with those issues, and we are trying then to do something that is new. And in partnering up with the hospital board, what we also introduce then is that we call it Festival Townshipers Festival. So the whole idea here is a bit like St. Patrick's Day. For St. Patrick's Day, everybody that wants to becomes Irish for a day and can celebrate. And what we're looking at then is having a place where we continue this idea of rotating throughout the townships to give a chance to people to visit different parts of the townships. All three of these organizations that I've just mentioned, in fact, serve the historical Eastern Townships. So it is a very interesting historical and present day matchup. And what we're hoping that a whole lot of people are going to come out, as they did last year. And it's been a long time since we had a major event out in that part of the townships. And in and of itself, just the chance to visit Massivanier Regional High School, because the English section and the French section have been sharing a campus since it was first built. And it's a real statement about how we in the townships, I think, have been able to get along over the centuries. And because it's at a school, we know that schools have a lot of facilities, and in terms of setup and takedown, then we don't have to worry about, are we going to have tents up all over a town? How are we going to deal with parking? There is extensive parking available, so you can come at any time of the day, come participate, have a good time. We will have a lot of people who are there exhibiting in a wide variety of different areas, from social services to things that are arts and crafts. And as we know, for a lot of people, this is the ideal time to come out and meet all of those folks that you may have not seen for a whole year. And in our own context here, if any of you have ever been in the Cowansville area, there's some wonderful places to visit while you're out there. And downtown Cowansville has all kinds of wonderful restaurants and stores and boutiques. So it can be a real outing. And as we know, everybody keeps their fingers crossed that it's going to be a nice, beautiful day. So everyone, please cross your fingers. We don't have to do it right away. But I think what we really want to get across to each and everyone who's listening today is that there is going to be something that really is an opportunity to celebrate the fact that we've been around for a long, long time as an English-speaking community. We have lots to share. We have lots to be proud of. And it's an opportunity to show ourselves off at our very best. So that's what we're going to try to do on Townshipers Festival Day.
Okay. Sounds great. So Massey Vanya, I didn't realize that it was a bilingual campus even.
Yes, okay. And it's one of the very, very few places where you'll find such a combination of building structures and also learning centers, which provide also an opportunity to coexist and to share. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is one of the hallmarks of what we've been trying to do throughout, I think, the long history of the English-speaking community, is to try and make the most of partnerships that we can carve out as we go along. And I think the province as a whole, it would be worthwhile to learn some of the lessons that we have been able to learn over the years, because I think our model of coexistence is one that's highly exportable. And at a time when we're seeing some more linguistic tensions on the horizon, it's a good opportunity to say, hey, wait, we can, in fact, get along through dialogue and through cooperation and above all, mutual respect.
True. Good points.
Well, as in everything, I think I'd like to just take a diversionary moment here, because we've been talking about a school and a school board. This morning, Bernard Drinville, on his radio program, and those of you who might remember him, he was the minister who had carved out and tried to pass what has become the famous Charter of Values for Quebec. And in terms of what happened with him after he left politics, he went back to his radio program, which is one of the most listened to in the province. This morning, what he announced is that the CAQ government, with Minister Roberge as the Minister of Education, is going to exempt the English sector from the abolition of the legislation that is going to essentially remove elected school board councillors. And that we've been anticipating that this fall, and that's one of the major planks in the CAQ platform, in fact, the abolition of elected school board councillors and the creation of service centres. Now, we don't know how things will finally shake down, but we've already structured, and the Townshipers Association has become a part of this group. It's called APEL, and it regroups a number of organizations and individuals. And the former minister in the Liberal government, Jeff Kelly, is chairing that, and it has essentially been formed to create arguments of why the English community needs to, wants to, and has a right to continue to have elected school boards. It's in the Constitution, and it's something that French-speaking organizations outside of Quebec are watching very, very closely, because if Quebec is a major province abolishes elected school boards across the board for English and French sectors, then they're very much concerned that in Ontario and other provinces, there may be a similar move to remove the rights of the French-speaking community to have their own elected school boards. It's a really important dynamic, and in many instances, the schools and the school boards are the last of our institutions that we have direct voting control over. And in this respect, I'm really hoping that this is only a way of testing the water, of leaking something out, and that what we'll see then is a major step in terms of the CAC government recognizing the importance of the English community and recognizing the importance of our institution, the elected school board. So this would be a major step, I think, for the CAC, and it would be one that I would anticipate would help us in many respects get over what I think a lot of English-speaking people felt was really quite unacceptable in the passing of Bill 21, and specifically that was the exercise of the notwithstanding clause where the Charter of Rights and Freedoms was set aside. And if you're a minority, then that charter is one that guarantees that the tyranny of the majority can always be set in a certain context, and the context is that the rights of individuals who are different, who participate in different forms of activities or belief structures or linguistic, whether it be linguistic, whether it be gender, whether it be sexual orientation, whether it be a difference in terms of just political aspirations, that the rights of individuals must be championed. And this was set aside in Bill 21. So I think all of us were justifiably concerned if it can happen in one bill, it can certainly happen in others. So let's hope that this is a rapprochement. Let's hope this is a genuine one in which the English community can engage itself much more constructively with this new government.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Certainly big news, and let's hope that it's true.
Yes. And, you know, sort of, in the same vein, mm-hmm. talking about relationships between the English community and the CAQ government, the Parliamentary Secretary for the Secretariat, that has been put in place by the previous government, for English language issues and services, Mr. Skeets, will be visiting every area of the province and setting up consultation meetings with the members of the English-speaking community. Now, we were almost going to have one in the next week or so, but our latest information is that it'll be postponed until October. Actually, we're quite pleased that it has been postponed because it was supposed to be happening on the 20th, which means that we, at this point, didn't even know really where it was going to be, what time, what place, and what the agenda was going to be. So I think what's happening now is that the Secretariat is taking a little bit more time to make sure that this consultation is done properly and that there is a significant amount of publicity that's put out so that English-speaking people and organizations can show up and speak about what they really feel they want from this government, what they feel are the priorities that need to be addressed. And when it is announced, I'm really, really counting on the members of our community to come out and do a really good job of entering into dialogue and making our needs, our aspirations known, and to create that kind of interchange that can make for better policy and make for better legislation. The best way to know what we think about things is come and ask us.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I think this was something started by the Liberal government, and it's something that we want to see continue. There is a bit of a concern, though, is that the Minister for English Affairs is Mr. Legault, the Premier himself. And in that respect, then, what we see is that as the Premier, he's very, very much dedicated to the fulfillment of the promises that were made during the election campaign. And I think what I know I would be more comfortable with is the naming of someone else as Minister for English Affairs, who could have a certain latitude in interacting on behalf of and with the other members of cabinet. There's a certain, I think, absolute power that a premier does wield. And in this case, we know that Mr. Legault is a very experienced politician. He spent many years in various ministries with former PQ governments. He knows the ropes. He knows how the National Assembly works. And up until this time, he certainly has demonstrated that he gets his own way. So I think in terms of looking at how the Secretariat itself is structured, is that we would like to dialogue with this government on that and make sure that the Secretariat is one that really can play that intermediary role on behalf of the English-speaking community, and also knowing that each government has a certain sense of what it wishes to deliver, and to see how we can work things out in a responsible, cooperative fashion. So I think there's hope, but we also have to be very, very cognizant that mm-hmm. if there is a backing off on the school boards, it's only because there was a strong, strong voice raised by the members of the English community, and we simply said, no, that's not acceptable, and we have very good reasons for that, identity reasons. And if there's a government that needs to understand that, certainly I think a CAC government that says it's a nationalist government needs to understand that the aspirations of a people cannot be set aside. And as an English community, we have a history, we have what we believe is a future, and we have aspirations and goals, and we would like to be able to see them achieved. And the only way to do that, I think, is to make sure that whoever's governing has a sense of what we're about and has a strong connection to the community through organizations such as Townshipers. That's a big part of our mandate, to represent the interests of this community. And we have certainly been very active in this file, and we'll continue to be until such time as we know exactly what the legislation is going to be. And we will, as we've usually done in the past, whenever there's something comes out that touches us from a legislative point of view, we have submitted our point of view, and we will certainly continue to do this.
Okay, good points, and definitely Townshipers are doing a lot for the community, for the English community.
And mm-hmm. what we also have to be very proud of is that in terms of looking at the impact we have with other organizations and at QCGN, is that we have impact. We are able to bring, I think, a very rational voice to what at times is a very emotional context. And one thing we've always done in terms of a basic approach of the Townshipers is that whenever you bring a problem forward, bring at least one or two solutions, because then you're able to move quickly to how do we solve this problem dialogue, instead of creating a sense where, okay, this is the problem, so whoever you're pointing the finger at, the first reaction is usually defense. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's not. But if you come and say, you know, this is a problem because, and here's a solution that we think can solve this problem. In the past, we've been quite successful with that approach, so we will continue again to try and use this as much as possible.
Good strategy.
Well, we have mm-hmm. to go with what works.
Mm-hmm,
and,
exactly.
I think in this context right now, what we're seeing is the very real possibility that there's going to be a lot of legislation coming up that, whether it's aimed at the English community specifically or at minorities specifically, that there is legislation that's going to have an impact. Already, we know that the whole concept of school for beginning at age 4. Now, one of the factors that I picked up in talking to some people is that they're very much concerned about, what if you have to put your 4-year-old youngster on a bus, and the bus happens to have to go maybe an hour and a half before it even gets to school? How is that youngster going to arrive back at the end of the school day, whether it be half a day or full day? So I think there are very real concerns that maybe a rural population might not see in the same light as an urban population where the school may be just down the down the street. And I think that's an issue that, again, we have to talk about. Another issue, I think, you know, when we're talking about kids and schools and laws and all of that, is that how come there are no English language daycare facilities available? In the same way that, you know, affordable, government-sponsored daycare. Surely there are ways in which there can be accommodations, reasonable accommodations made in daycares where there is a population of English speakers who have children, who have responsibilities that take them out of the house, and they have to have daycare, and they have to have what we'd be in terms of looking at the way in which daycare has been set up here in Quebec. It affords an opportunity, I think, for a lot of families to be able to have meaningful employment. It affords opportunities, especially, I think, for single moms or single dads. It affords opportunities for families that have low income. And I think this needs to be available to the English-speaking population also. So I think in the long and the short of it, we have lots to talk about with this new government. And I think what we're going to have to begin to look at in all of this is impact. We need impact analyses to be carried out. And if you look at, we're right now at the point where we just took another little shift here and look at healthcare, another big, big concern. There is a regional access committee that is now being established as a result of having a provincial access committee that is now in place. And we're very fortunate, Mr. Don Warnholz, who's the secretary of the Townshipers Association, is the vice president of the provincial committee. Once these committees are in place, then there will be a clear definition of what is required of the health providers in order to serve the English community. Now, there were access committees up and running, but they've been inactive now going on almost 5 years. They will be up and running again. And what we have to bring to the attention of this government, it's all well and good to say that the English community must have access to services in this area and that area, mental health, chemotherapy. There must be available a whole host of range of services. But if there's no allocation of funding to ensure that there are people who can serve the English community in English, then there is, again, a need for dialogue, is that you can't say that something has to be available unless you staff for it. And here's where we'd like to open a door. From the point of view of townshipers, we'd like to say in the strongest possible terms, if you want to have people who can serve the English-speaking population, hiring speakers. We know that many of the jobs, it will be only a percentage of the time that they'll be functioning in English, so provide them with the best possible French language training and hire more English speakers in order to be able to deliver services. And also, there's something like about 1% of the Quebec civil service that is English speaking. We need affirmative action there too. We need more English speaking people working in the civil service to deliver services and just to be able to sensitize their colleagues to the fact that the English speaking community has its own cultural and linguistic needs that need to be better known. The more you know about the needs of a community, the better able providers are to provide that service. Here in the townships, we've been very, very fortunate throughout that whole period where there was no access committee. There was a transition committee in place to try and keep up as much as we could. And we are very impressed by the openness of our own board here, our own hospital board. And that's why I think we were able to partner up with them for Townshipers Day. And I think in terms of, all of the things that I'd like everybody out there who's listening in to know about, I probably have given you a whole bunch of different things to stock away in your memory bag there. But remember that when we're talking about the English community, we have to be vigilant. And as the president of the Townshipers, that's my commitment on behalf of the association to all of you. So have a good day, have a good evening, and see you on the 21st out in Cowansville.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Cherry. Certainly a lot to think about, and definitely Townshipers Festival, that's the place to be on Saturday, September 21st.
Thank you.
Okay.